Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So it's really an old story. I mean, how do you figure out who's lying?
Well, I heard a shot.
You heard a shot?
Yes, sir, a revolver shot right inside the door.
Thank you, Mr. Prince. Your witness.
What about that shot, Miss Wallace?
No, Mr. Mason, it isn't true. He's lying.
Mr. Mason, do you wish to cross-examine this witness?
I most certainly do, Your Honor.
I thought you could tell somebody was lying just by looking at them.
The question is never simply if someone is lying. It's why.
Well, from Perry Mason to the Fox series Lie to Me, the narrative of who's truth-telling and deception is central to psychology, it's central to sociology, central to literature. It's a huge narrative in human life. Benedict Carey joins us now. He's a science reporter at the New York Times to tell us about a new interviewing technique. It's not a brain implant. It's not a high-tech device. No, it's an interviewing technique that determines the liars from the truth tellers. It can even help you. Ben has a piece on this topic in today's special forensics issue of the Science Times section. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, John.
You know, I love that this is a low-tech use of language to produce a test for truth and lying. How does it work?
Well, it's a structured interview which starts out by me asking you to describe a recent memorable event. It may be, for example, a concert you went to or something over the weekend, just to get a sense of how descriptive you are in your use of language, how you communicate, how spontaneous you are. And then I ask you about a specific event that's being investigated, whether that's a crime or a trauma or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I record that conversation or that description you give, and then proceed from there in several stages to have you tell that story again in different ways, one of which, for example, is to encourage you to give me more sensory detail, like what you saw, what you heard, what you smelled, to sort of fill in the picture of what happened. Another phase, I ask you to tell it backwards. Now, this is a standard interview, and after giving it to you, I can look at that transcript and get some idea of whether you were telling a truthful story or a concocted story.
Now, how would you be able to do that? Why don't you just ask me a couple of questions to get a sense of how you're sort of drawing me out on the one hand and then sort of creating a record that you can compare subsequent questionings?
Okay. Well, let's say I'm asking you about something you did over this past weekend.
Okay, sure. I'm an open book. I'm an open book, Ben.
You're
ask me anything you want. I was playing baseball with my kids. We were outside. It was beautiful.
Right.
The sun came out. My son was whacking the ball. It was great. My daughters were running around. The wind was blowing. It was gorgeous. The lilacs were out. It smelled beautiful. I really was having a great time.
Well, that's a beautiful picture you've drawn.
Thanks
there.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's extremely vivid. Except that some documents disappeared from the Takeaway Studios, and we know you were there because you were caught on video. Now there might be a good reason for that.
Right.
I wonder if you could tell us what you were doing there.
Well, I stopped by the office and went by my desk, just picked up a few things that I was told I needed, and then just left. I was there really for about 5 minutes. That's all, Ben. But I want to get back to talk about the lilacs because that was really beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, John, give me a little more detail about the office visit. Anything you saw? Did you see anybody? Did you hear anything?
Well, I saw some of our producers. There was, of course, our producer Leo was in the office. He's got a lot of hobbies, and he spends a lot of time there on the weekends. There was some food in the refrigerator, I remember, and that's about it.
Okay. All right. Well, now, so you've told one sort of beautiful, vivid, flowering story about playing in the park with your kids. Gives a sense that you really you're a descriptive person, and when you recall something that actually happened, you give it a lot of extra detail. But you had trouble doing that the second time around, describing why you were in the office. And so the thinking on this is that people who are trying to tell a false tale they have the idea that they will stick to the facts, keep it tight.
I see.
Try not to contradict themselves.
All right, I took the documents. All right, Ben. Fine. Fry, you have a question.
Yeah.
That's the story. So by looking at these transcripts over the structured interview, the idea is that people telling the truth will add more detail, 20 to 30% more. They may even admit to making mistakes in their recollection. Much more likely to do that than someone who's sitting on the documents and trying to tell a doctored tale.
Something real quick.
Have you ever had any specialized deception training?
I've dated a lot of men.
Oh, that's bitter. That's from Fox's TV series Lie to Me. Any differences between how men and women lie?
Yes, they're picking up some differences. Women tend to be more descriptive in both conditions, whether they're relaxed and telling an honest tale or even when they're concocting one. Men are a little tighter in both situations. And so as this science and this study moves forward, they'll refine to make adjustments depending on who's doing the talking. But that's one general difference, yes.
Now, is this we've got to go here, and I'm actually telling the truth, but is there an application, an obvious application for this technique, and has it already been applied?
The answer is yes and yes. I mean, police officers, detectives, and so on, draw on experience and instinct mainly to make decisions before going to interrogation. Is this person a credible witness? You know, are they telling a tale? Is this person involved? And so police officers, for example, would have use for this. The San Diego Police Department is interested in looking at this, see if it helps them to make evaluations, before they start to more aggressively interrogate people.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the main application.
Well, Benedict Carey, the state of the art in sorting the liars from the truth tellers involves a structured interviewing technique described by Benedict Carey, science reporter at the New York Times. His piece is in today's special forensics issue of the Science Times section. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.